The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
And I'm your morning bartender, I'm Lippo.
So I can use the ramp.
And I'm Big JD.
You gotta love a good ramp. It just, it's so climactic when it gets to the top.
Ooh, climactic.
Oh, yeah. This is all about entertainment here.
That's a whole other show.
Entertainment?
Climacticism. All right. After a little sidetrackness, we're back.
We sidetracked.
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, some people call that a rat hole or a rabbit hole.
It's a rat hole in our case.
All right. Do you have rats?
What?
What?
I have no rats.
All right. Good. Glad to hear that. Your family is glad. We have rats in our neighborhood every once in a while. Yeah, they're a nomadic sort of animal, and they wander around, and then for a few days or a week,
yeah. That's because you're in a real neighborhood.
Yes, I am. It's a real neighborhood.
Mine's not real.
Not yet. No. It will get there. You got to get the trees going.
Not the same as old school neighborhoods.
Right. Let's get on to what we're talking about today on the Big JD and Lippo in the Morning Show. We're going to be talking about the first time for everything.
Wow.
So exciting. Yeah. It can be exciting. Everything that we mentioned today will be exciting the first time that you actually do it. Well, at least it should be.
This is the first time we've done a show like this.
Yeah, it's the first time we've done a show on April the 13th, too, 2019.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You got any other shows to do later today? No, never mind. Nope. Big JD and myself will relay some stories we have about our first times doing stuff and maybe what we can do or what you can do to help you, get through your nervousness or your trepidation about doing something for the first time.
And we'll talk about some first time activities that would be fun that you might not have thought of doing and maybe that you have done. If you want to call in and share your experiences, 999-7171. You'll be trying that all day.
Operators manning the phones right now.
Or womaning. We're equal opportunity employers.
All right, we're going to be, let's listen to some music first. Let's listen to some Stones. Mick Jagger just recently had surgery, had to cancel the whole tour there, but...
Was it Stones?
No, it wasn't Stones. It was his heart.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, let's listen to One Hit to the Body from their Dirty Work album.
Straight from the heart.
Little Rolling Stones there for you on a beautiful Sunday morning.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
It is. Rain or shine, it's beautiful.
That's right. Weather has nothing to do with our outlook on life and the quality of the show that you're going to get.
That's right. Never affects the show.
No, it's usually how much alcohol we drank the night before. And in JD's case, or what?
My case, tea.
Oh, tea, I see.
How much tea did I drink the night before? You sound pretty chipper, though, this morning.
Well, I'm sleeping. Sleeping is good. I'll tell you that much. If you don't sleep, you can go crazy, literally crazy.
For sure.
And when
you're sleeping,
you get
better, that's good.
Yeah. And I was lacking in serotonin, apparently, because the doctor gave me some serotonin stuff and bam.
Wow.
Back to my own ordinary old self, which is good. Yeah.
That's interesting. So, yeah, there's always a first time for everything. You know, you may get tense when someone suggests that you must do something that's completely out of your comfort zone. You find reasons to avoid it. The same you, however, would be over the top when it comes to encouraging a baby who's afraid to walk on his own to do that. And walking on his own is obviously out of his comfort zone. But then again, young minds are different than ours. I don't think they have like the fear that we have doing something new or doing something they've never done.
Right.
Having any fear in particular, you know what I mean? From heights or anything like that, you know, a little baby standing at the top of the stairs, they have no perception of really of depth and height and all that stuff. So it can really be scary. In doing some research, I found a list of 50 fun first date ideas, which is kind of cool and relates to this, whether you're doing it with a partner or not. There might be a lot of things that you haven't done before. And then a bunch of popular recreational activities for first time participants, which should be fun. That's it for me, really, is the fun part of it. Like, what can you do for a first time, you know, that you might not have done before? Whether it be go-karting, fishing, flying a kite, whatever it is. So,
yeah, that all sounds like fun. It's interesting you mentioned the age thing, Big JD, because I think you don't even have a sense of what you should be fearful of when you're a really young person. But at the same time, the older we get, we realize that most of the things that we were fearful of when we were younger, we have these feelings of trepidation or worrisome or whatever. I think those go away as we actually get older. We realize that we worry a lot about stuff that doesn't really, what we're worrying about doesn't really have to, you don't have to worry about it at all, because it's not as bad as you may have worked yourself up to think it will be.
Right. And on the other side of that coin, there are things that you just would not do. You know what I mean? There's things like people that have never been on a roller coaster and they'll never go on a roller coaster. But anyway, we'll get into all these fun activities and all this great morning show blabber after some Little Texas. First time for everything.
I don't stay out all night. I don't close down the bars. And I don't make a fool of myself. Don't drink too much, and I don't get too loud, and I don't ever raise too much hell. But there's a first time for everything. Since you said goodbye, there's not much in that. Said goodbye.
right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. We're talking about first time for doing everything. First time for skydiving. You ever been skydiving before,
Big JD? I haven't gone skydiving, nor would I go skydiving.
Okay, so that's something. Yeah. Oh, it's one of those things, Drew. Of course, because you know why? Because it heights. Involves an airplane.
Airplanes, heights, yeah.
What about the first time you ever went on an airplane? I was going to say airplane ride, but it's the first time you ever went in a plane. What was that like
for you? I was on some small planes and I think maybe a helicopter. I'm not sure if when I was younger, you know, the little tours or something like that, a couple of times maybe, or a friend of the family flew. So we went up in a small plane and, you know, I never really thought of it much as a kid. Just like we had mentioned, like when you're a kid, like these kind of things don't bother you. And then when I got older, yeah, terrified. Always like I've been on, you know, big planes a few times, but always terrified and vowed last time that I would never do it again. And hopefully I don't. Yeah.
So the actual experience now that you're later on in life, it was a bad experience for you.
Yeah. And it's not so much the experience as it is that it's the fear of dying on an airplane. That's what it is.
Yeah. Big JD, I got some news for you. You're going to die at some point in your life.
I know that. And I don't mind dying any other way, as long as it's on the ground, not like embedded into it or in pieces.
Oh, boy.
So Big flying, JD. Though, there's one of those things that, you know, a first time for everything. So somebody flying for the first time. And you may be apprehensive about that a little, but, it can be a fun experience. And I think it's cool. You know what I mean? Like the plane, the idea of it is cool. And
of course,
being up there and looking down at the ground and cities and houses and cars, like it's kind of neat. You know, the takeoff and landing, you know, all that stuff. I like to film it while I'm on a plane because I have no choice because I'm on it now. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But you just wish you were flying the thing yourself. Do you think it would be okay if you were flying the thing yourself? You'd feel like, oh, this is not too bad.
I might feel a little better about it if I was doing it myself. But that's never going to happen.
No, I guess not. Unless you turn your Jeep into like a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and then you can fly your...
Nostalgic children's movies. There's another show.
I think I got that down. Okay. I wrote some.
Lots of nostalgia stuff. So what about things like fishing maybe for the first time? It'd be kind of a neat, relaxing thing, I think.
It's relaxing. Yeah, for sure. There's things that you, there's aspects of fishing like putting a worm on a hook or taking a hook out of a fish's mouth.
Or taking a hook in the eye.
Well, that's...
Whilst casting.
That's no good. You don't want to do that. So, yeah, and then depending on what the fishing scenario is, whether you're on a boat or you're just fishing off a dock or whatever, yeah, it can be a fun activity. Usually we do that. Do you remember when you were a kid and you went fishing for the first time, or did you? Have you been fishing yet?
My dad took us fishing. We tied string to sticks. Yeah, and we fished at the Detroit River. I remember my brother catching a boot once, which is the standard scenario that, you know, like you might even see in a cartoon or whatever.
Right. Either that or an empty can.
An empty can or maybe a tire.
Yeah. And all those things are highly likely that you could catch that stuff in the Detroit River.
You know what we used to do in Detroit River? Friends and I, when we were younger, we used to make these, I forget what they're called now, like a trolling hook thing, you know, like it was a little small short tube with a whole bunch of hooks sticking out of the bottom so you could troll along down at the bottom of the river and drag stuff up. I don't remember dragging or what we ever dragged up, but we were always hoping, I think, for bodies.
Bodies? Wow. I thought it would be like money, but okay.
Oh, yeah. A nice pirate chest full of money.
Yes. Doubloons. All right. Time for another tune. We're going to play some Canadian rock and roll here. This is the Tragically Hip doing Love Is a First.
Nothing to do with deserves it. It's just that you don't just blurt, love is a curse. Love is a curse. Love is a curse. You don't just blurt, love is a curse.
coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We're back. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. We're talking about first time for everything this morning on the show. And I was going through some like outdoor type activities, first time things you can do, like skiing is another one, snowboarding, backpacking, if you've not done that, is fun and a great experience. And depending on to what extent you do that now, you know, if it's maybe a local park and you go back, you know, day backpacking type thing, or if you maybe go out of town to somewhere that's, you know, like Algonquin or somewhere, or in the mountains or what have you.
Sure.
That can be a lot of fun too.
And yeah, depending on what length of your trip is, you have to do some planning, and you know, you can put yourself in some dangerous situations if you don't prepare yourself properly. That's all about preparation, the whole backpacking thing. I noticed you went over the skiing and snowboarding, went really quickly. Have you done either one of those activities?
Yeah. Well, I've not snowboarded. I wanted to try snowboarding. I don't really like the idea of I know you can get out of it, but your legs both locked in kind of to the same thing there. But I've skied numerous times. Yeah.
Okay.
We have so much in the list. I just kind of skimmed over. I know you've skied as well, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I used to enjoy skiing quite a bit.
If anybody wants to buy a pair of Dynastars, let me know.
You still have your old skis?
I still have everything. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And they're just one of those things that's in storage for Big JD. They're in your basement, I'm assuming.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that's seems like a common first time thing, especially, you know, you go on away on some kind of a destination vacation, is snorkeling.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do for sure. I enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, yeah. And it's something that you don't really need training, like as opposed to scuba diving.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of thing. You got to go somewhere where you can go scuba diving. Whereas snorkeling, you can go snorkeling in any shallow body of water, and it's cool to breathe while you're underwater. So that's the novelty of it, basically, is breathing at the same time your head's submerged in water, basically.
Another one is sailing. Kind of on that note, going sailing for the first time. It's kind of a neat, interesting thing. I don't recall that I've gone sailing specifically.
I've been on a sailboat while people were sailing on a very windy day, and I was just told to sit in the corner and get the hell out of the way because that can be, you know, intense at times. Like, you know, you have to make a turn at a very specific point. Otherwise, you're going to end up, you know, a half a mile from your destination mm-hmm. that you want to get to. And then it's a mess trying to get backwards, especially on a windy day. That can be a fun thing to do for the first time.
And same with things like, again, like destination type things, whitewater rafting, maybe climbing. And you can actually go to indoor rock climbing, you know, facilities that have that, and you can actually climb indoors. It's probably a pretty cool experience. I've not done that either, but I could handle that depending on, you know, how high up I went. Have you climbed, rock climbed?
I've been at the wall at, it was a sporting goods store in the States. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of the name, but it's not coming to me.
And then there's other things. What's that?
I was going to say, it's fun. They tie you up with rope and you know, they're not going to let you hit the ground.
Yeah, for safety purposes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
Of course, there's other things like dating for the first time, kissing someone for the first time, sexual activity for the first time.
I can't wait.
Your first sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah, that's not something that it's a first time activity. That's just something you get.
It's not an activity in any way. It comes from activity. You may have girlfriends, but you might not have ever had a lady before. This is Burton Cummings on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. in talking about a first time for everything. Probably a lot of people that have thought about, especially when thinking about exercising, is like running for the first time, you know, going jogging, running. So I had the opportunity to talk to Jason Chesson about beginning running on You Talking to Me up next.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
My guest today is Jason Chesson, who is here to talk to us about beginning running. That's right, running for beginners. But my guest is no beginner. Jason is an 8-time marathoner and an Ironman participant. Jason, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hi, Big JD. Thanks for having me.
We'll primarily focus on outdoor running during the show, but I wanted to touch a little on running indoors, just because running outside may not be an option for some people. What do you think about indoor running primarily, like for exercise?
Running indoors is challenging, but it's good to do. Well, actually, when I first started running, it was running indoors at the St. Denis Center when I went to the University of Windsor. And I just use the treadmills as much as I possibly can. Now I primarily use actually indoor running a lot during the winter time, mostly for safety reasons and just because I don't want to worry about slipping and falling on the ice. But running indoors is just as good as running outdoors. I think the only difference is handling going long distance on the treadmill and not get bored when you're just not really looking at anything or looking at a screen.
Right, right. Oftentimes indoors, people will use their iPad or their, you know, they got their phone or you got TVs if you're at the gym or whatever. Do you find yourself doing that indoors as well if you're on a treadmill? I mean, to kill the time, or is that something you don't do because you want to focus more on the exercise? Like, does it make a difference?
Actually, that's exactly what I do. What I do is if I know I'm going to do an indoor run, I will download a few episodes on my iPad. Usually I download stuff off Netflix. And then one thing I find actually really helpful is I load up the program on the treadmill. Some can load up the program that you want.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I put the iPad right over the treadmill or over the clock and I start it up because I don't want to see the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I find, especially on a treadmill, that's actually even the same with outdoor running. If I'm spending more time looking at my watch, my workout's done. And a lot of it is just because it's just, you're at this point, you're just waiting for the time to end and you're not actually enjoying the workout.
If you're just watching the clock tick away the minutes, it gets pretty boring. And then lastly with that, with the indoor thing, treadmill versus like an indoor track, you know, or running on a gymnasium floor or anything, is one better than the other? I kind of assume like maybe a little less impact and stuff on the treadmill.
I haven't had too many opportunities to do for indoor track. I think the only times I did it was when I went to boards at the St. Denis Center. And I find that's actually even just as good as running outdoor and outdoor track. I think the problem is you have to make sure the air quality in those indoor facilities are really, really good. And I find actually with indoor track, you have to, some people will use some of the local tracks they have now, or the Atlas, or the St. Clair College has their new center, which has a track around it where you might have to deal with a lot of people that are walking. So sometimes it's hard to move in and out of around people that just may be there getting a walk right. workout in compared to you trying to get a run workout in. And that's sometimes a little difficult, but it's things that you have to deal with. Even on the sidewalk is things you got to
sure.
deal with.
The cyclists and what have you. So with the sport, I'm sure comes with its own necessary clothing and gear. And what should especially a new runner look for when they're just starting out as far as gear? What's the most important things they should be looking at? You know, something to carry, water, shoes?
I think the most important thing is a good pair of running shoes. If you've been using your current shoes that you've been walking with for almost 6 months to a year and you haven't changed them and you want to start running, get a pair of running shoes. That's the first step. Clothes is not that important at this stage. Yes, you want to wear something comfortable and maybe something light, but at this stage, make sure you have a good, comfortable pair of running shoes just to get you going, because we don't recommend going completely all in until you have a little more experience.
Yeah, make sure you're going to do it, like you're going to stick with it and that kind of thing. Now, are certain shoes faster than others? I'm just kidding.
You know what? It's funny. Like, I actually just did the Gros Eel half marathon, and after the race, I had one of my people that's helping me train come up to me. He's like, "So, are you getting a new Nike 4% Fly?" And it's just because there's a lot of talk with a lot of elite marathon runners are using that particular shoe to be faster. I guess to me, it's always about, it's something I did look into, but I'm not going to get those.
So I'm making a joke here, and there's some truth to some shoes being helping you run quicker, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, there is, but I think at the end of the day is you got to find what works for you. Mm-hmm. Because there are shoes that are obviously going to be a little lighter, but you also have to have shoes that are supposed to be comfortable and not cause you injury either. So I don't want to recommend like for me, I didn't go with the Nikes because I'm afraid the way they felt on my feet that I may suffer. I didn't like the way they were landing. So I'm going with a different type of shoe that may be a little heavier, but it's because at the end of the day, it's going to prevent me from injury.
Okay.
There are shoes that are particularly light, but it's, I think it's all up to the individual.
Right. What feels comfortable and a good shoe for running. Let's talk about breathing. I think this is a really important topic for runners, especially beginning, because there's a certain way that you should breathe and certain speeds that you maybe need to breathe. Can you give us some like breathing tips?
Well, breathing is, I'm always kind of struggle with breathing because when I first started running, people would probably hear me quite often, just kind of always out of breath. And I actually lately been taking breathing as a more of a yoga approach when it comes to breathing and just mm-hmm. trying to make sure I have deep breaths out, and also realizing how important it is, like you're talking about when it comes to speed, is if I'm really heavy breathing and I'm running, that could kind of mean two things. It could be one, it's just not my day, and you know what, I just got to realize that and maybe just take a step back and go slower. Or two, I'm going way too fast.
Yeah.
And in that point, I need to either dial it back, or that could be part of your training plan, because there are going to be days which the plan is to, you're going fast and you got to just go. So it, and the breathing heavy is a good indicator of where you're at. If it is going to be a fast day, then yes, you should be breathing heavy. If it's going to be a slower day, then you should be breathing light. And if you're not, make sure you dial it down, because all the heavy breathing is going to do is it kind of wastes energy in a lot of ways, and which is going to increase your heart rate. And when you're doing, especially for easy runs, you are supposed to be taking it slow and easy, and slow and easy actually helps you in the long run when it comes to running.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit about the marathons that you run and how demanding that is for, you know, as far as training and things like that. And then a little bit about the Ironman triathlon as well.
It's funny. When I first started doing marathon running, one of my friends wanted to go to Iceland, and I was planning just to do a half marathon, and then I saw the half marathon course in those loops. So it was just basically doing the same loop multiple times, which is fine, but I really don't like loops. And I saw the full marathon, you go completely around the city. So I figured that would be a good opportunity to be like, well, what's the next time I'm going to be in Iceland? Mm-hmm. So I signed up for the marathon, and what ended up happening was I really, really like the training and the distance of marathon running, where it became fun to do 20 kilometers on a week basis. And it's kind of fun to explore. And I think that's the biggest difference with the marathon running is really just trying to, your mileage does go up. If you're a beginner, it's going to seem really hard at first, and that's why it's sometimes good to go with other people that are also maybe doing it or have experience doing it, just to give you support or provide you feedback, because it is hard for the first time you've done it. But once you kind of get a hang of it, you kind of realize what you need to do. And it's a neat way to explore. Like, I enjoy the distance. Like, my mileage is pretty high. Last Sunday I did 32 kilometers in that crazy ring we had. Okay. But we had a lot of good volunteers that were out there with us, giving us water, and that helped make the experience better.
So what about the Ironman? That's got to be pretty demanding. That's more than just running, right?
that's combination of running, swimming, and bike riding. I've done 2 half Ironmans. I'm planning to do a full Ironman next year. A lot of it's just the time commitment to train for the Ironman. You have to get your body prepared for it. I mean, you're training not only for a marathon, but you're also training for almost 180 kilometer bike ride, and then a 2.4 mile swim, which is crazy now that I'm talking about that.
yeah, just the swim and the bike ride themselves must be demanding, let alone the running. And then
it is.
You're not only training to run these marathons, but I assume that you're training to some degree to be in shape and avoid injury as well. So what are some of the common injuries, and can you avoid some of these injuries by the way that you train?
Oh, for sure. It's like some injuries are going to happen.
I hear shin splints all the time. That's a big one when you're running.
Shin splints are a big one. But I've been fortunate enough, knocking on wood, that I haven't had to deal with too many of those. I've had to deal with some knee injuries, but a lot of that has to do with shoes, and that's something I've learned. I think the one thing I've actually found helpful with my training is I've done a lot more yoga. I've also make sure I properly cool down my body. So after a run, I will spend 5-10 minutes just rolling out my legs and just helping do some stretches, do some yoga, drink some chocolate milk, which is great. And just trying to do what I can to get the muscles to relax and get them going. But I guess for common injuries, I know a lot of runners that have had hamstring problems, Achilles problems. It's a tough sport. There's no question about it. So it's or sometimes you're on a run and unfortunately there's uneven sidewalks and you're not paying attention and then you trip and fall. I know a lot of runners that have sprained ankles or broken ankles because of running on ice. You just don't see where you're going. It's the dangers of running outside in the wintertime.
Right.
You have to be careful. So you never want to be on the sidelines, but
Sure, yeah.
It happens to all of us, and you just got to do, you just hope this doesn't happen right before a race.
right. Another important thing I think is just to touch on here is the motivation to run. How do you find the motivation to do it and do it regularly and even just exercise in general? I mean, I think, you mentioned that chocolate milk is a good thing for you. I think the more chocolate milk I drank, the less I'd be running and wanting to do anything.
Actually, the only time I drink chocolate milk is after a post-workout because it has a lot of stuff in the chocolate milk that helps the muscles post a workout. Okay. I guess what motivates me to run was, I guess when I first started running was mostly because I couldn't get past first base without huffing and puffing at 30, and I just this can't do. And I know a lot of people that did the Detroit half marathon, and I just thought that was kind of cool to go on the Ambassador Bridge and on the tunnel. And I'm a person that if I put cash to something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because now that I paid for it, I don't care if I hate this after the first lesson. I've already paid for it, so I'm doing it. So, and I think that's because I've made that financial commitment, so now I'm going to do it. I think that's always something that motivates me to do something. And now I've been doing this for about 5 years now, and it would almost take something outside of running to force me to stop just because I've been kind of doing it for so long. So I guess the thing that helps me to, what got me into running was providing me that carrot of, okay, I signed up for this and now I'm going to do it. And looking at programs to help me get there. And then I make great community of runners here in Windsor. And that was really helpful where you talk to people and you listen to their ideas and get their training plans.
Right. Or you're just running with other people. I mean, that's the motivation right there, right?
Oh yeah.
And then, like you say, paying for it, then that's going to make you do it. So there must be other events around the area here. I know that you had mentioned to me pre-show about the Free Press Marathon, Windsor, Detroit, but we must have some local Windsor here too. I see the streets are blocked off sometimes in the summer. They have events, right?
Yeah. There's actually an event at the Running Factory. It's called the Spring Thaws, which is a 5-kilometer race. They do have a race in June, which is called the Moon in June. They also have a kids run, which I will sign my niece and nephew to do. And so they enjoy it, and they also have a 5K for grown-ups. I know a lot of kids are really fast. It is amazing. It's a good local event. There's also a few triathlons, local ones that are really, really popular, like the Limington Triathlon, which is in June. That's an excellent event. And same with the Compsy Triathlon. That's in August. It's also great to support the local community. I think that's one thing that's always helps with motivation. It's like anything. When you feel like you're doing something with the community or with other people, it really helps motivate you to continue doing your sport.
I want to thank you for taking the time to share your running knowledge and your experiences with us on the show today, and all the best in your future running endeavors.
Well, thank you, Big JD. Great to be here.
Well, for any of you that are considering running for fun or for sport, my guest Jason Chesson has pretty much covered the bases to get you going. Check online for local running groups in your area or running events that you might take part in. I think starting with a partner might also help to keep you motivated and hold each other accountable. Who knows, before long, you just might start your own running group. Even Big JD is running now, but what I'm running is out of time. Hope you enjoyed this week's show. Shows drop Sunday mornings on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning, available in iTunes if you'd like to subscribe, or listen in Apple's podcast app, or right in your web browser at tunein.com. As well, the following week, the standalone interviews are released at podbean.com. Until next time, this is You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. We're talking about first time for everything. I know Big JD has had many injuries and stuff, but when I first met you, I knew you were like going to the gym all the time, trying to get in shape and stuff like that. What does it take to go and do something like that for the first time? I know a lot of people go and get memberships at a gym, or they start a physical regimen, but then they soon drop out, or they just lose interest. What does it take to start something like that?
It takes a lot of drive. It takes a lot of willpower. And what it mostly takes is making that change in your life that is going to be a long lasting thing that you commit to, you know, to be healthier, be in shape, not eat like you were, not maybe be sedentary like you were, and just to commit to a new lifestyle.
Okay, that's very encouraging, Big JD. What are you up to now as far as that kind of activity goes? Are you going to the gym, or are you jogging, or what's up with your state?
No, my schedule still hasn't really allowed it, but I've been sticking to this program that Lana and I had started called Solera. It's a metabolic balance program. The program itself is not really called Solera, but the place is, so we kind of refer to it as Solera.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been an amazing program. It puts you on a path to eating how you should be, eating the foods that you should be for your body, your makeup, your ailments or illnesses or disease, if you so have, anything like that, and avoiding things that you shouldn't have. It's not so much a diet. It's one of those things that you need to commit to as a long-term process, and I can't speak more highly about it.
So why is it so amazing? Because you're getting such awesome results?
Awesome results, but it's made for you. You know what I mean? Everybody's different. So everybody's plan is different, and the foods that they should be eating is different.
All right.
But yeah, great program. So yeah, as far as working out, now that spring is back, you know, I'll get out and do some bike riding and some walking. And that's another first time thing to do, you know? A lot of people want to get in shape and be in shape, and you know, they might go for walks and do this and that, but working out, exercise, and go to a gym. You know, you got treadmills and EFX, different machines to do cardio on. And there's classes, there's spin classes if you've not done that, or, you know, a lot of different things that you can do. And for first time experience, it would be fantastic. Just keep it up, though. That's the main thing right there. You have another song. Yeah, Lipo's got a great tune. I was like really excited when I saw that you were going to play this song this morning by Barry White.
Yeah, it's You're the First, the Last, My Everything.
getting low on time here on the morning show, talking about first time for everything.
Right. I wanted to ask you one thing, Big JD, yeah. As far as a first time goes, is do you remember your first time you were on stage?
Oh, no.
Okay. That's easy. You don't remember the first time you jammed and you were like, oh my God, I'm so nervous and or nothing like that. It was just.
No, I definitely was not nervous, but I don't remember even when it was. I'm going to say it was probably, it must have been a local, like actual stage, would have been a local bar. Maybe A Bars was the first place I ever played.
Come on. That's where I was at. Jam night.
Yeah, Johnny probably Good, me
some
too.
Band that was there. Mm-hmm.
We might have been there together and didn't know.
No.
I remember so. Glasses flying all over and smashing and the band getting kicked out every time we went there.
I remember being at, was it that bar? I think it was at that bar. I don't think it was your band though, but I remember being there and we just got there and the band, there was like blood all over the place. And we asked the bartender, like, what happened? Oh, they got in a fight on stage and they're done.
Yeah, I don't know. There was just, it was mayhem every time we played there. I think we were probably there a few times. Once, I think it was so early in our careers that we didn't have a singer. So we went up and played everything instrumental. I remember that, like cover songs like ZZ Top and Black Sabbath. And I don't even remember Ted Nugent and Alice Cooper probably. But we had no singer. So we just played the songs. Went crazy, of course, and it was wild and everything was getting smashed and we got kicked out. And then another time we played and they said it was too loud. The old lady there, old Ma A-Bar, she pulled the plug on us. Everything went dead.
Turn it down! Yep,
kicked us out. So wow. Last little bit here of some fun ideas. And this comes from that 50 Fun First Date ideas, but some really cool stuff for anybody, really. I just want to run through some of that. They have some of those other things that are overlapping, the hiking and all that, but singing karaoke, that would be a fun thing.
Yeah.
Going to an arcade, geocaching, if you're not familiar with that is, it's where you get coordinates, I think, and you go out and hunt for little treasures, right?
Yep.
Basketball maybe, or taking in a type of sports game or something, attending an animal show, like a dog show or something like that. That can be a kind of neat. Those kind of things though are doing things for the first time, like kite flying. You know, it's not the same as like, you know, when you say there's a first time for everything, I think. To me, it feels like it should be something that's like more demanding, like maybe go-karting or something like that, because that's a little bit more, you know, where people would think that, oh, I don't know if I should try that because it's so open or they're so fast or they're, you know what I mean? Like something that might sure. be a little scarier, like you talked about skydiving, things yeah. like that, as opposed to going to a dog show, you know, a first time for everything.
Or, or wine tasting or something like that.
Wine tasting. Yeah, that's more, it's not something that's like a fearful thing.
Sure. People feel intimidated because they don't know what the protocol or what the right thing to say or,
yeah, yeah. And
or
that's, do. That's what I think mostly of, you know, a first time for everything. Or in that other sense, you know, like in a, just try and wrap our heads around the meaning of that. A first time for everything when you like, you won a lottery, you won an award, or, you know, some things that was like, oh, there's a first time for everything. You know what I mean? Or you
yeah, yeah.
did something in particular. Can you think of anything like that that comes to mind?
Not off the top of my head, sorry.
Yeah, it's a weird thinking about it, but you know what I mean, right?
Yes, yeah. Of course.
It's hard to pinpoint those specific things, but there's times, I think, in everybody's life where somebody at some point says, there's a first time for everything. We got time for one more song, so I'll spin Foreigners Feels Like the First Time.
I would climb any mountain
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Had a ton of fun talking about the first time doing stuff on tap for next week. We're going to be talking about Big Brother, getting your phone tapped, people watching what you're viewing on your internet stuff, cameras in your car, and little trackers that insurance companies put in your car to see where you've been, and other aspects of being watched by a larger power, and maybe some conspiracy theories thrown in there just for fun.
That sounds like fun for sure. You won't want to miss that on next week's Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.
Jeez Louise.
Let me mark that spot.
All right, mark it and tag it.
And we'll certify that as complete. Bye-bye.